Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio's Labyrinth in the News for Monday, October 5th. Deanna Brinton, coming to you from who? Coming to you from the Couve, that's Vancouver, Washington. Across the river from Portland, Oregon, as I will be doing every Monday at 3:30 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. My lead-in music is the first cut off of Susan Alexander's Sequentia CD called Icos, which is short for icosahedron, the water symbol in sacred geometry. Sequentia is a recording of tones from DNA vibrations. Susan recorded these tones in 1988 with the help of Dr. David B. Diemer, at that time a cell biologist at the Davis campus of the University of California. If any of you want to chat while we are on the air, please go to Christiana Anea at blogtalkradio.com. Today we have the final featured presenter at this year's annual Labyrinth Society conference and gathering, starting up. Leah Good Harris will be giving a pre-gathering workshop Thursday afternoon entitled Poetry, and her main presentation, Spirit Sightings, will take place Friday evening, October 9th. So let's get Leah on. Are you there, Leah?
Yes, I am.
Hi, welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm very happy to be here with you this afternoon.
Well, this is a treat, and we'll be seeing you very shortly in a couple of days. So I'm so glad to have you on Labyrinth in the News. Just full moon time and
yes.
A lot happening on the planet right now. So, Leah, let's just jump right in. On your website, and your website is www.sr for Santa Rosa, labyrinthfoundation.com. So that's SR, labyrinthfoundation.com. You describe yourself as a poet, writer, mixed media artist, a creative consultant, and designer of labyrinths and sacred spaces. How has the labyrinth been involved with all of these different hats you wear?
Well, it's a great question. I feel that the labyrinth has actually been the foundation for really everything I do. It's helped me, I think, one of the greatest things, Christiana, has been to slow down. And in that slowing down, because life, at least for me, seems to pull me so many different directions, it helps me to come back to center and focus. And whatever I'm putting my attention to, that kind of focus can then allow me to get to a quiet place inside myself that I can do the things I need to do.
And you do have a labyrinth at your home.
We do. We have a 22-foot Santa Rosa labyrinth. It's been there in the ground since 1998. And I have used it for so many different things. It helped me hold the tension of getting through my doctoral program and writing a dissertation on labyrinths. My husband and I, it was a second marriage for both of us, so we took a long time to get married. But when we did, we got married in our labyrinth in our backyard. And it's been a place that we use for celebration. It's been a place we've used to mark when we've had loss or deaths in our family or in our circle of friends or when there's been something in the world that touches us very deeply, the labyrinth is the place I usually go to process and to experience reconnecting with the ground beneath my feet and coming into an awareness that there is always so much beauty around us. So the labyrinth has really, really helped me in achieving that, even when I don't have the labyrinth to walk, when I'm triggered about something that's hard or if I'm joyful about something that's wonderful, to be able to take those emotions and bring them into the moment and bring them into your breath and bring them into the relationships of people you're with or if it's the art I'm making or piece I'm writing, it's really come to be something that I'm very appreciative of.
Did you make the labyrinth? I know you obviously your the Santa Rosa design is your design, but the one in your backyard, did you have a lot of help creating that labyrinth? What is it made out of?
That labyrinth in the backyard has gone through many incarnations. When I first started exploring labyrinths, actually even before I had made the Santa Rosa labyrinth, I had a classical labyrinth, Seventh Circuit classical labyrinth laid out in rope. And then for quite a long time, I had the Santa Rosa labyrinth laid out in rope. And the first installations of the labyrinth in our backyard, when I say installations, then when I put brick in the ground for the lines of the labyrinth and then the grass was the path, I did that all myself over a couple of months in the spring when the ground is wet and I'm able to move the soil. But 3 years ago, we walked the labyrinth when the paths were the grass. We walked it so much that we wore the grass out. And it became very muddy, and it became obvious that it was time for a really big change. So for that, I needed a lot of help. I had help from our gardener and some of his workers of moving the soil out from the labyrinth, and that went out into the front yard where we were doing a garden project. And then my husband helped me shovel quite a bit of gravel and sand. And then I had a friend help lay the inner four rings of the labyrinth because I changed the brick to the paths, and now dirt and a little flower ground cover is the lines. And then I actually finished up the last three circuits on my own. But for this, as the labyrinth is right now, I have a lot of help.
Mm-hmm. So it's a brick path labyrinth.
Correct.
And where that now your Santa Rosa labyrinth in, is a dear one. It's just lovely, and it does have some of the design aspects of the shark style, the medieval labyrinth with the labyrinths. But it also has that wonderful altar area that, as you stand at the entrance, you look in, and it's right there. Is that brick in your labyrinth, or what is that? What do you have there in that area?
For a long time, it was grass, and now there is a round stone there. And that space has actually come to be called the heart space of the Santa Rosa Labyrinth because it correlates with the seven energy centers in the body and the seven energy or the seven circuits in the labyrinth. It's on the fourth circuit, so that's the heart space. And so in our labyrinth, it's right now it's a round terracotta stepping stone with little flowers all around it. So we can use that as a place when we do ceremonies or celebrations. Like for Earth Day, I had a mosaic that I made of the world out of glass, and that sat there on the heart space. And as everyone walked the labyrinth, it just aided in being a marker for celebrating that day.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. So, you've made so many other different ones. One of the ones is that I just love is that Snoopy Labyrinth at the Charles Schulz Museum in Santa Rosa, California. It's honoring the cartoon character, the Peanuts cartoon carrier character, and with the rock for the nose, which I just think is precious. And I bet kids love walking that labyrinth, right?
Oh, they do. They do. They run it and play games and crawl all over. And you can sit on his nose and you can sit on his eyes, but you end up in Snoopy's ears. And so one of the fun things is to talk to the kids about, what do you hear? You know, is Charles Schulz talking to you? Is Snoopy talking to you? And they really love it. It was a really fun project. And that project has even really special meaning to me because it really came out of a very difficult, what has historically been a very difficult day. I was asked early on in 2001 by the Luther Burbank Home and Gardens to give a labyrinth talk, and we put the talk way off into the fall, and the date we chose was actually Tuesday, September 11th, 2001. Mm. And the morning after the towers went down, you know, they called me and said, do we cancel? And we decided that if one person came that night, because we were going to have all sorts of different labyrinths out for people to walk, that it would be worth it. And sure enough, that evening, over 25 people came, not only just to hear about labyrinths, but just so desperately needing contact with other people for us to share our grief over what had happened that day. And one of the people that came was Jeannie Schulz, who is the wife of the late artist Charles Schulz. And she was looking for something archetypal to put outside of the museum that would be open 24/7 to the community. And so she called me a month later and asked if I could design a labyrinth in the shape of Snoopy's head. And with much delight, I said, absolutely. And that's how that labyrinth came to be.
Well, you state on your website that I strive through my art and creative consultations to assist people in finding beauty in themselves and surroundings, no matter where they are. Can you speak a bit about this partnership between the artistic and the spiritual processes that informs your work?
Sure, I'd be glad to. It's been my lifelong journey I'm a seeker. And that's taken me to many different, studying many different spiritual teachings, as well as finding my own way of seeking the divine in life, in my inner life, and in the world around me. And what I've come to find is that almost every situation that life has given me, I've been able to find a kernel of beauty or find a seed that I may not understand how it could possibly turn into something beautiful, but I trust that somewhere down the path that I will have the opportunity to have a realization. So in developing this own practice within myself, it's been an honor and a privilege when I work with people or do my art to be able to, I guess the word I want to use is marry the artistic expression with the spiritual expression. Even if it's something that is as whimsical as the Snoopy labyrinth, the whole purpose behind that labyrinth not only was to bring something of the Snoopy character to the Schulz Museum. The architect that I worked with on that design, he made the statement that in walking the Snoopy labyrinth, it allows you to kind of get inside the head and the imagination of Charles Schulz. And that ability to see wonder and to be curious about life and at the same time give expression to that, whether it's in designing a labyrinth or making a picture or helping someone draw a mandala. I think that every chance we have to have creative expression, it just enriches our lives in ways that we never really could have imagined.
Well, I'm sure Charles Schulz, wherever he is drawn to that Snoopy labyrinth ongoingly to hang out and enjoy and just bask in the energy, in that wonderful energy there.
Well, that's lovely, Christiana. I love that thought.
Yes, absolutely. Well, at least that's the impression I get because, you know, it is, I mean, you also write that I use my art as a bridge for the imagination and the heart and as an inspiration for connection with self and the dance of being in relationship with others. Have you experienced recently or in the past any shift or change in people's acceptance of the labyrinth as a tool to experience this bridge and dance of being in relationship?
Yes, I have. As I said, it's really an honor and privilege to have the opportunity to work with people. And I do one-on-one consultations with people. I call them creative consultations. I also work with couples or groups of people and facilitate a number of different things, either doing some creative art expression. But one of my favorite things to do is I call them heart walks. And it's where I'll have a person come and either they bring an object from home that has significance to them on something they want to work on, either personally or spiritually. And I assist them in creating a little mandala out of sand and their object, or I use a larger space. Sometimes I'm thinking of a person I recently met with. She brought quite a few things, helping her to come to some clarity in her life partner and her relationship with this person. And so we created an altar of these objects. And then she asked herself a question in regard to this relationship and went and walked the labyrinth that I had prepared for her. And she was able to come to a new place of understanding in some clarity of what was her piece in the relationship that she needed to work on. And what was clear for her of what she needed to let go around her expectations of the other person, and was able to integrate that experience of walking the labyrinth, asking the question, letting there be some release, and also some insight gained that she was able to take with her when our session was ended.
So what you're saying is that people, and they have been doing this, but is it your sense that people are more willing to go to deeper levels, not just have it with the labyrinth than ever before, or do you see that it's evolved over the years since you've been in using labyrinths?
I would say yes. One of the modalities that I was trained in was hypnosis, and so I've for a long time, and my degree came from a school that really relied heavily upon the imagination and imagery. So for a long time, I've used imagery in my hypnosis or in my art. But what I find happens, Christiana, in the labyrinth is that you move that into almost a 3D. You take something that's two-dimensional and move it into three-dimensional because you not only have the object that represents something for your psyche or your soul, but within the labyrinth, as you walk, it begins to take on a three-dimensional aspect. It moves from just being in your mind down into your body as you take the steps, or even if somebody who's using a finger labyrinth, they're able to move their body, or even if they're only using their eyes, there's something that happens when you distract the mind or allow the mind, maybe is a better word, to take a vacation and just let the process unfold as you move your body. That takes the level of the imagination, takes the imagery to it takes it to a cellular place within your body.
And is this, have people, I'm sure you've gotten you know, books filled with comments from people of their experiences, and you use it in your practice. But is this a process of remembering? Of do people over and over say, you know, this I, you know, I are reconnecting and remembering their psyches, their paths, it's not a linear thing. It's a circular spiral kind of experience.
I'd say that's one way you could put it. There is a remembering, but there's also a discovery that occurs when you're in the moment of the now. All the things that have ever happened in the past definitely have brought you to the place you are right now. But when you're in the moment of the now, it lets there be all sorts of possibilities with the next step. And so there can be a remembering, and at the same time there can be an acceptance of, wow, I don't know where this next step is going to take me, but I can trust that if I put one foot in front of the other, I'm going to discover something new.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about your upcoming workshops and presentations. Your pre-gathering workshop is entitled Poetry, with an E-E on the end instead of a Y in the spelling. What is the significance of this conceit, of this difference?
Sure. Well, actually, the full name of the workshop is Creating a Poetry Labyrinth to Express the Spirit of the Seasons. So I've prepared a canvas for my participants that is a three-circuit labyrinth, but it's shaped like a tree. So there's where my little play on the words poetry come in. And the participants are actually going to be in, and they don't even, if a person's never even written a poem in their entire life, that is okay. They will find that they will be able to write a poem or a line, and they'll add that line into the poetry labyrinth canvas. And so their words will become like leaves, and collectively we will create a poem about the spirit of the seasons. And then that canvas is going to be offered to the gathering, the Labyrinth Society gathering silent auction, and a lucky bidder is going to get to take that home with them.
Oh, how wonderful. Well, that's experiential at its best,
yes.
I would say.
And it's so fun. This is the third time I've done this workshop, and just the two times before, I mean, they're so different. The canvases are always, the design is somewhat the same, but the theme and the feeling of the canvas is different, and then what the participants bring and put on the canvas is going to make a big difference.
Well, we only have about 6 minutes, so I want to get some other questions here. Tell me about your featured presentation. And now, I probably have this wrong, too. Is it spirit sightings, or is there
nope.
more to that?
You've got it right. And okay. Again, I have a little play on words. Spirit sightings, since the gathering is called Into the Labyrinth, Creating Space for Spirit, I wanted to take that as a jump-off point. So spirit sightings is what, you know, if you were to sight a spirit, see something. But also I wanted to make a play on when you choose a site, a ground site for a labyrinth. So there was my play there on the words. And I'm going to be using a couple of different themes to talk through my talk that evening about creating sacred space, about creating space for spirit, about the age-old question of the marriage of spirit and matter, and using examples and from my collection of pictures, both kind of archetypally as well as literally pictures of labyrinths and what I've come to find of how that marriage of spirit and matter takes form when we slow down and pay attention.
Well, that sounds just really interesting. Are you going to be using aids, like a presentation, a PowerPoint, or anything like that? Or
I'm planning on it.
Okay.
I did dream, though, before back in April, that I stood before the crowd with no images and no talk prepared. So
that's funny.
Yes.
Well, but Mercury's out of retrograde now, so you don't have to worry about it. Everything's going to be there. So what do you see as the role of labyrinths for the future, for this transition period? We're now in a new millennium. It's a totally different age, different paradigm. What are your thoughts?
Well, for me, the labyrinth is such a perfect container for holding the tension of opposites. You have up, down, inside, outside, going in, coming out, turning left, turning right. And at this point in history, more than any time before, I think we're constantly, through the media, through just what we hear, what we see, there's choices between fear and I see choices of love. And for me, the labyrinth has provided the space to begin to transform the places where I have anxiety and fear and choose love and compassion. So, and I think that's one of the greatest gifts it has, the labyrinth. I also think that it's going to be years and years from now that we really discover what having the labyrinth as a symbol, as an actual space and place to walk and to experience life, that we will begin to see exactly how much these designs have been portals.
Percolated. Yes.
And yes, percolated, yeah. For us to come into the essence of who we really are as human beings on this earth.
Well, thank you so much, Leah. We are out of time, and I'm so grateful to finally chat with you. I've walked and enjoyed your labyrinth designs for so many years, and this interview has been a perfect segue into the theme of the annual gathering, which is Into the Labyrinth, as you said before, creating space for spirit. So thank you again, and many blessings on your flight out here and your traveling out here, and we'll see you in a couple of days in Lakesh.
Thank you so much, Christiana. I look forward to it as well. Thanks for having me on your talk radio. Bye-bye.
Well, you've been listening to Labyrinths in the News in the Life category on blogtalkradio.com with your host, Christiana Anea. Stay tuned for next Monday's show, when my guest will be Jody Lorimer, one of the Friday workshop presenters at the TLS Gathering, who has written the book, The Origins of the Labyrinth in Paleolithic Europe. Have a blessed week in Lakesh.